We're going to be talking about a really interesting topic, one that I don't think I've ever talked about before on this show before, and that is exploring psychedelics with mental health care and how do those two even go together. And I will say, 5 years ago, this would not be a conversation that I would have, but I'm really interested in learning. And if this can help somebody who is really struggling with, maybe they're being resistant with the traditional methods of medication for their mental health, maybe this is something that you can at least look into. So if you're listening to this or watching this, I want you to come to this episode with an open mind, not shut it off because of psychedelics. I know you're thinking it's when you hear the word psychedelics back in the 60s, right? People on drugs and all that. It's not that. So hang with me. I want you to learn and then hopefully maybe even doing some research when this episode is over, if you're really struggling or you're interested in learning more about psychedelics in mental health care. So I have with me Josh Helu. He is the CEO and founder of the Psychedelic Exchange. He's got an interesting story that we're going to start with, and then we're going to get into this topic of how important or should we explore psychedelics when it comes to mental health care. And there's some controversy around that, and we're going to talk about that right now. So Josh, thanks for coming on the show. Welcome.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me and for being bold enough to have the conversation about psychedelics on your platform for the first time.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly interesting topic. It's a continuously developing industry and modality for care, psychological care, for treating a number of mental illnesses. And more information keeps coming out rapidly as the medicines are continuously being researched and developed to adapt into our modern mental health care model. So it's really exciting topic for me to talk about, obviously very near and dear to my heart, not only because I started the company, the Psychedelic Exchange, but the story, my background that led me to decide to open this company after having incredibly impactful experiences using psychedelics for my mental health. And just looking back at the journey I've been on to get to this place, it'll be exciting to dive into it with you.
Yeah, and this is a topic that I think is really interesting for me from a perspective, a licensed therapist. And you know, I do have an open mind. And if you think about the traditional model of people who are really struggling with a mental illness, and the traditional route would be to go to a psychiatrist or to your doctor, and you get prescribed medication. And so you're taking medication, and it might work, it may not work, it might make things worse, it might make it better. And it's kind of a, you know, try this, and if that doesn't work, let's try this. And so there wasn't that far, that long ago, where the medicine that we have today, when it first came out, was controversial. And so the mental health and healthcare in general continues to evolve. And that's what I want. I want to at least create some conversation around this topic. And whether it's something that if someone's listening to this, it's for them or not, at least be open to the conversation. So I appreciate you being here, Josh. So tell us a little bit about how in the world did you get involved in psychedelics? Tell us your story.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long story that I'll try to keep as straightforward and as possible. But you know, I think a lot of mental illness can be contributed to traumatic experiences or experiences that we have in childhood or experiences with our parents. Right, a lot of Freudian related topics and challenges. You know, in upbringing and how that develops into the way that you go through life and the way that your psyche kind of perceives the world through life. And if you had told me that the way that I was going to heal my incredibly challenged relationship with my mother was through taking several psilocybin mushroom, you know, or magic mushroom journeys together, if you had told me that 5 years ago, I would have said you were crazy. There's no way. But for me, that, you know, that was where my journey led me. And it started when I lost my father to suicide when I was 4 years old, and really finding out what suicide, what mental illness was for the first time, kind of realizing, well, for me, my father's funeral was the first memory that I have really in life. And it tore apart my family. You know, my mom was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. My siblings had depression. We had a really challenging kind of upbringing that was what I would consider a difficult childhood that ended up with my parents sending me away to military boarding school when I was halfway through my freshman year of high school. And from that point, my entire life was changed. And I ended up deciding that I wanted to, from that point, go to West Point, which is the U.S. Military Academy, and become an officer in the U.S. Army. So my journey ultimately led first to military boarding school, where I learned discipline and I kind of learned how to have focus. And I grew up with ADHD. I grew up with kind of a lot of challenges focusing, and I was always challenged with school and sitting still and paying attention. And so I think the military was actually a good avenue. So thanks to my parents, although I very much resented them and was very angry with them for many years as a result of it, and decided that I wanted to go to West Point, kind of take my life into my own hands and make the military at least the entry point into my adulthood. So I became a Black Hawk helicopter pilot. I graduated at 21 from the academy, and you know, went to flight school, then went to ranger school, became an Army Ranger, went to Afghanistan, served in the military, and then got out after about 7 years of active duty when I was 28 years old. And at that point, I'd been in the military or in a military uniform from age 14 to 28. So half my life had been in a uniform. And switching out of the military was a shock to the system for sure. I went into, you know, I got my MBA and went into the corporate world and had a job lined up and all that. But I wasn't prepared for all of the feelings of PTSD and trauma and depression and anxiety to be exposed in my psyche in the way that I went about life after leaving the military once I finally had a chance to come off this, you know, fast-paced life and start figuring out what actually living life on my terms meant. And I lost a very close friend who I went to high school and college and was in the Army with shortly after getting out of the military, and that unlocked a lot of trauma for me. So all the PTSD, all the depression, my father's death, my challenging upbringing, my relationship with my parents and my siblings, and I spiraled in a major way, and I was started, you know, drinking a little bit. I first discovered plant-based medicine with cannabis, and that was my first entry into kind of discovering a natural remedy instead of, you know, taking medication. I was averse to going to the VA and, you know, telling them that I was having mental challenges. I thought it was a sign of weakness, and I discovered cannabis, and it somewhat helped my anxiety and my depression, but I felt like it was more like numbing the symptoms. So fast forward a few years, and I decided that I was changing jobs. I was married at the time. I was in a challenging marriage that ultimately ended in divorce. But I was really spiraling with my mental health, and then the pandemic hit. And so it's 2020, and the pandemic hits, and I'm working from home, and my wife is working from home now, and we're living in New Jersey. And having a really hard time just adjusting to living with each other. And I had still not confronted my mental health at that point in time. And I discovered that, and I had a mistrust actually of therapy growing up, significant mistrust, because my parents kept sending me to therapy, you know, because there was something wrong with me. And, you know, they kept sending me to new therapists, and I had to tell my story over and over again and be like, I don't really understand, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just, you know, I'm angry because my parents keep sending me to therapy, and they think that there's something wrong with me because my father died and, you know, attributing certain characteristics to me. But fast forward to 2020, I read an article about psychedelics, and I'd always assumed that psychedelics were for the counterculture or for, you know, the hippie generation, or, you know, for people that weren't me. But I read about how it significantly helps mental illness in general, and was being researched in a number of different ways. In fact, the FDA approved psilocybin, which the active ingredient in magic mushrooms, and MDMA, or what you can refer to as like Molly or ecstasy, you might have heard before. The FDA approved both of those medicines for as under something called breakthrough status in 2017, because there is such promise around them, so they could be studied and kind of fast tracked through the FDA process if possible. And today, this year actually, MDMA is on schedule, on track to be potentially approved for the treatment of major depressive disorder and the treatment of PTSD, with psilocybin being approved either next year or the year after. So it's really incredible how fast the industry has started to react, and these things are moving. But for me, when I read about mushrooms, I went to West Point. I'm, you know, I was kind of an elite university, and I was an Army officer, and I was a, you know, I had a corporate career, and I had all these feelings of stigma, like going down that path, it was doing something wrong. You know, certainly pursuing it could be illegal. But more importantly, there was the mental stigma that I kind of approached it with, that, you know, a West Point officer graduate doesn't do this, or is this doing drugs? Am I, you know, all those kinds of thoughts rattling around. But the compelling nature of my mental state at the time, led me to say that, you know what, I don't really want to go talk to therapists. I don't want to get on medication and, you know, have the dosage. I'd seen my mom go through the cocktail of medications and up and down. And sometimes she's numb, sometimes she's with it, sometimes she's manic, sometimes she's depressed, you know, and just not wanting to go through that for myself, and having a little bit of a mistrust for it. So, you know, I took matters into my own hands, and I decided that I was going to learn how to grow mushrooms, actually, which is a fairly simple process, although illegal, certainly. Unfortunately, because it's just a natural substance that grows out of the ground, and you could, you know, cultivate it on your own. Not that I'm recommending to do that to anybody, obviously. But I was in a place of desperation, truly desperate. And my marriage was coming to an end. My wife had told me she wanted to get a divorce. And so I decided to figure out how to have my own psychedelic experience. And I did. So my divorce happened about July of 2020, and I packed everything up from New Jersey and moved out west to Las Vegas, where I live right now and where a lot of my family is. And I told myself, as soon as I got set up, I'd read a ton of books about the psychedelics. I'd already finished growing my mushrooms, so I had them. And I said, when I get to my new house, a big topic in psychedelics is what's called set and setting. So you want to make sure you have the right mindset going into it, because you can have a challenging experience and you're in the right physical setting, you know, who you're surrounded with, what environment you're in. Both of those are incredibly important. So I said, once I have those two things set up and I'm in my new place and I was living by myself for the first time, you know, in my adult life, I said I was going to have this experience. So all those things, you know, check the box on all those things. And the day came, it was in August of 2020. So about 3.5 years ago, and I took the dose that I had weighed out, and I had an incredibly powerful psychedelic experience that, you know, it's lasted for about 6 hours, which is pretty typical. During that period of time, I mean, I wasn't prepared for any of it. Honestly, I'd wrote down my intentions, but during that period of time, I mean, everything in my psyche really, really changed. The way I looked at the world up to that point was from a lens of anger and resentment. And I was, you know, I experienced a lot of resentment toward my parents and anger at myself. And I had no ability to be kind to myself and forgiving. And I had this negative fuel that just kind of pushed me through a lot of life. Like life has been happening to me, and I'm, you know, I'm doing whatever I have to do to make it and get from this stage to the next stage and fight for it. And all of a sudden, over the course of a few hours, right, I had the typical psychedelic experience of, you know, what you hear about, like living and dying a million lives, and, you know, having all these deep thoughts about whether life was just a projection of my consciousness, and or whether I was actually, you know, plugged into the matrix or not, right? It kind of red pill mentality. But most importantly, over the course of that time, I discovered what forgiveness really meant, and really forgiving myself, forgiving my parents, healing all these different aspects of my life, and finally experiencing what I think true self-kindness and self-respect really feels like, and understanding at the end of that whole experience that what that life is actually beautiful, and the thing that I should embrace more than anything was gratitude for my life, for my journey, for the people in it. And about 6 hours later, after taking the psychedelic, I called my mom on FaceTime, and to think that I would call my mom after this is crazy, but I was still kind of in the experience, and I called my mom, and I was weeping. I had so many breakthroughs, and I found out that my mom was actually kind of a hippie from the 60s and 70s and had a lot of LSD experience. and she just, I told her, I was like, I took a bunch of mushrooms. Like, I've had this intense experience. Like, I'm having these crazy thoughts. My mom's like, all right, just breathe, be calm. Everything's okay. Let's talk about it. We had this beautiful conversation. And I left that conversation just incredibly fascinated. I felt like in a lot of ways I was able to live and breathe for the first time in my life. And I became fascinated by psychedelics and dove into the research and dove into the science and really tried to understand what it was all about. I learned about some different projects that exist to help veterans deal with PTSD. And I started working with a lot of my friends and fellow veterans one-on-one to help others through PTSD and the challenges they have using psychedelics. And then eventually I started using psychedelics with my mother and my family to heal a lot of our multi-generational or intergenerational trauma that we had experienced. And down the road a few years, I decided to leave my corporate job and formally open up a company and go down the entrepreneur route so that I could bring legal and safe and effective access and information about psychedelics to communities at wide, to the mental health community at wide, and very importantly to the veteran community who all suffer with a shared sense of PTSD and associated depression and anxiety that comes with serving your country and serving at a time of war for the past couple decades.
Well, that's an incredible story, Josh. I appreciate you sharing all of that. I know it's not easy to kind of rehash all of that because you just described a very complex trauma in your life, starting from a very young age. And I think a lot of my listeners are going to relate to that, the trauma and how you got into the psychedelics. And you mentioned earlier that as you got more and more involved in the psychedelic world or field or industry, you realize there's a lot of research, a lot of science-based research about using psychedelics in mental health care. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What are some of the findings that you have discovered in your process of research?
So the incredible thing is how effective psychedelics and psychedelic medicine administered correctly and safely and responsibly really is. There are a number of what we would call traditional psychedelics or plant-based medicine, but the traditional psychedelics you hear about a lot are psilocybin mushrooms or magic mushrooms, LSD, things like ayahuasca, which you'll hear about. You can go down to South America and have an ayahuasca experience. It's, based on medicines that put you into plants that put you into a psychedelic experience. And then there are the non-traditional ones like MDMA or, what you would have previously heard referred to as Molly or, a party drug or ketamine. And currently ketamine is the only fully legal, medicine under the psychedelic umbrella, although it's what's referred to as a dissociative anesthetic. So dissociate, if you've had surgery, is a high chance if you've ever been put under general anesthesia that you've had ketamine, because it's a general, it's an anesthetic that dissociates you from your pain. And using the psychedelic sense, it can dissociate you from your association with your kind of mental state and take that 30,000 foot view instead of being in the trenches with your thoughts. You can take a step back and kind of be the one behind your thoughts and perceive your whole life a little bit more holistically. And in that space, right, it's the medicine will work, but it's more the medicine puts you into a very kind of neuroplastic, state of mind where you can relook at a lot of the.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Traumatic events or the events in your life that led to your current state of mind, and you know, in these very specific periods of your life, like childhood, adolescence, you know, puberty, you know, war, trauma, where your mind was resolutely kind of created with a certain perspective, puts you back into those places where then you then do the deep work of healing, but you're in the place to do it mentally. So you asked about the statistics associated with it. It's really incredible. So for I'll mention one specifically is MDMA, which is being like I said, there's an organization called the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Sciences, and they've funded a, you know, as a nonprofit, they've funded the research for the last 20 years of MDMA for major depressive disorder and PTSD. And because of their efforts, it's set to be approved by the FDA this year. What the research has found is that over 2 out of 3 people who participated in the research trials over 3 sessions. So one, you know, a session of some prep work, a session under MDMA and an integration meeting. So 3 rounds of that. Over 70% of the participants after participating in this lost their PTSD diagnosis entirely.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible.
Lost it entirely. And I'm not talking about, you know, say using pharmaceuticals to manage symptoms or, you know, being in talk therapy, you know, for every week for the rest of your life. And, you know, maybe it's the right therapist for you. Maybe not. Maybe they're using the right modality. Maybe not. You know, you get to the end of your hour and you kind of end and you're going to see each other next week. And this is like, this is the deep work to cure the underlying cause of your mental illness. And it's being shown to be incredibly efficacious in everything from substance abuse disorder to eating disorders, to marriage counseling, to PTSD and trauma. But the research that I specifically called out was referring to individuals with PTSD and depression. And after those 3 sessions, losing that diagnosis altogether. Think about how profound that is.
It is very profound. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah, it is profound. And you didn't say manage. It was managed. You said it was cured.
Cure.
Wow. So just erase that right off the diagnosis. Wow. That's amazing research. So I interrupted you. So tell us more about, you know, I one of the things I really liked and appreciate what you mentioned a little bit ago when you were talking about the research. There's a distinction between the 1960s, 70s psychedelics and drugs and kind of the hippie culture to what you're talking about, that it is monitored by professionals who are administering this for a very specific reason, not just to get high, but to work on curing the mental illness in their life. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. You know, I told you a little bit about my story, and I was somewhat reckless or fearless behavior on, you know, on my part. I certainly don't recommend anybody just seek a psychedelic experience, you know, for the sake of it. There is certainly the recreational aspect that you hear about. There's the mind expansion aspect. all of those, you know, warrant their own conversation, certainly. But at the very beginning, it's about healing. You know, it's about understanding that trauma surfaces and mental illness surface as, you know, in many different ways or different types of, you know, illnesses that all kind of probably tie back to some illness or some traumatic episode or some event, you know, earlier in your life that just, you know, perpetuates and you never really deal with it and your kind of mentality becomes crusted over. And what these medicines are doing is putting you back into the state of mind where you can actually decide what your narrative is going forward, instead of feeling like I mentioned earlier, like life is happening to you. It's more that, no, like you are just the culmination of your life experiences, good, bad, and different. And the only thing that matters is not what happened to you in the past, but just arriving in the present and deciding what you're going to do in the future. And that becomes incredibly liberating because now you can take life and you can be the one at the controls of your own life instead of feeling like you're the victim of circumstances. You know, we all have traumatic experience. I've yet to meet anybody that has zero trauma in their life. and if I did meet somebody like that, it's like you can really only experience bliss if you've really, you know, if you've experienced trauma and sorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Like life is about polarities and you can really, you know, you kind of have to have experienced things that force you to have to learn perseverance and grit and, you know, and some of that survival instinct. And then you can really truly appreciate, you know, the joy of living a full, complete life. But it's work. It's not necessarily, you know, psychedelics, people will say, oh, good trip, bad trip. You know, it could be a scary trip, something like that. If administered under the right conditions with a responsible clinician or provider or facilitator, you have a much higher likelihood of having a positive outcome. And I would say instead of having a bad trip, you know, you do have challenging trips. Many trips, especially when you're healing from trauma, are very challenging because you're working through traumatic experiences in your life. But on the other side of that deep work, and really importantly, is doing the integration work, right? Like integration is what is referred to in the medical or the psychedelic community as the work that you're doing to integrate the lessons from the psychedelic experience into your normal life. So typically they're, you know, if you're working with a clinician or a provider of ketamine or something legal, you know, or, you know, with psilocybin and you're going to a retreat in South America, there's almost always, or there should be with responsible practice, integration opportunities afterward where you get to meet back with a clinician or a provider and continuously, you know, talk and write about, maybe journal about your experience and then how to integrate that into the way that you go about life moving forward. The medicine can work, you know, can have some impact on its own, but it can be most effective when it's facilitated in a responsible and effective manner, and then actually integrated back into your life moving forward. And one really interesting thing I'll just mention was that last year the FDA put out guidance, and I think this is the first time they've ever put guidance out in place, but the guidance was for the research of psychedelic medicines and compounds. And it was the first time the FDA had put out guidance both for the medicine and in associated therapy, actually. So essentially the guidance says that when researching psychedelic medicines, talk therapy, you know, actually the therapy or the facilitation goes hand in hand with the medicine. So it's not just take this pill, you know, go through this experience and you know, call me on Monday. It's much more focused, and it's an effort to pair somebody who's responsible and capable of facilitating one of these experiences and helping you integrate the experience with the medicine itself. And that's incredibly important to understand.
I appreciate you bringing it out, because yes, you want to be able to use this responsibly. And if we're talking about getting the right treatment, it is a combination of the sitting and talking with a therapist in addition to taking the psychedelics. Well, we're getting close to the end here, but I'm really interested in talking about and bringing out this conversation of the controversy here. You know, I'm a licensed therapist, and in the mental health field, there is some controversy, and I think a lot of it has to do with a lack of knowledge and what the perception that we have of psychedelics equaling drugs and getting high and all of the negative side. But I'd like to kind of address this as a way of talking a little bit about this controversy, the stigma that it's with psychedelics in the mental health field. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It's really interesting. Actually, I'd be interested for your perspective at how you perceived it in a changing, you know, in a kind of a changing mental health industry. You know, so, I mean, me personally, I still take a daily antidepressant. Actually, once I was diagnosed, I take Wellbutrin every day, and I tried to come off of it, especially after several psychedelic experiences, to see, hey, do I need this anymore? And I quickly found that my mood became destabilized after 3 or 4 weeks off of the medicine, which told me that I personally, I have some, you know, maybe chemical misbalance that is actually helped and managed by taking a daily antidepressant. And that's totally okay. Right? I'm not saying that all pharmaceuticals are bad or talk therapy is bad or psychedelics are the way or psychedelics, you know, shouldn't be overused or anything like that. My understanding of mental health and mental health treatment modalities is that mental health is incredibly individual. It's so individual to a person. We're each a very unique fingerprint of a soul, of a human on this planet for our period of time. With, you know, to say that we're like anybody else, you know, we're our own snowflakes, right? We are so individualized, our experiences through life, the number of siblings we had, where we were born, the traumatic experiences we were exposed to. And every single person should have the opportunity to have very individualized care for themselves so you can live the best life you possibly can. Talk therapy is one of those modalities. And I believe in therapy. I believe it. You know, I think therapy is incredibly healthy. Seeing somebody weekly or biweekly to actually work through, you know, to work through things that are going on in your life or in your mind. It's such a powerful outlet and therapy to talk to somebody and have that conversation that helps you work through some challenges in life, because we always will have them. Just because you're on the other side of maybe you know, some powerful psychedelic experiences that help you eliminate some of your, you know, your deep-seated trauma, doesn't mean that talk therapy doesn't still have its place, as does some pharmaceutical medications. I think the most important thing to understand for individuals in the mental health space, in the behavioral health space, is to really understand what all of the modalities at your fingertips are, right? Like there's so many different. There's you know, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. There's, you know, there's IFS, there's psychedelics, there's talk therapy, there's, you know, electrical stimulation. There's all sorts of different things under the umbrella of mental health. And it's the job of the mental health professional, when you have a patient, to know that your patient, their journey, their mental health is incredibly individualized to that person. And then the next thing to also know is that there are so many different avenues and modalities that you can kind of pull from to create a personalized plan for your patient. And that's the best thing that you can do for your patient, is to fully know what's available to treat your patient, understand what your patient's challenges and needs are, and then pick an individualized care plan to help that individual. So I think, you know, for any stigma that comes with psychedelic medicine, know that the research is coming out regularly. The research is incredibly powerful to look at, to see the numbers and see what's actually happening. And then more important is to understand that there is a need for talk therapists, for counselors, for facilitators, for individuals that understand plant medicine, but most importantly for individuals to understand everything under the mental health umbrella, and then how to help individuals and patients find the most suitable plan of care for them, and to be truly seen and understood, that you're not just, all right, well, we'll try you on this medicine at this dose. We'll try that for 4 to 6 weeks, come back, see if that works. We'll adjust, right? That doesn't leave you with hope as a patient as much as being seen and heard for your individual journey through life and for you as a person to then understand that, you know, your provider of your mental health care really understands everything in the toolkit and can find the right thing for you.
And I really appreciate what you said about it's an individual choice, and psychedelics could be just one of those choices. And as you know, from my perspective, as a provider, I've been doing this for a long time, for many years. I'll have to say, when I first read about psychedelics and mushrooms, I thought my instant thought was, "What is going on here?" Because I was thinking of, you know, when I was in high school, people did mushrooms and LSD and all, and then that was bad. And now we're talking about using it in the mental health industry. But I think what you mentioned about it's important for professionals to do their research. We need to do our research. You know, these are things that if someone like me has been doing this for a long time, this is not something that we talked about or learned about in grad school. So this is a fairly new development. And so we can't just say and write it off and say, no, that's not good. It's drugs. It's bad. No, we have to do our research and look at the facts, look at the science, look at the evidence. There's evidences here. And that's one of the hallmarks of therapy is what is evidence-based. And so we want to be able to come to a session with our patients and be able to offer them a treatment plan that's tailored to them. And whether it's talk therapy or CBT or EMDR or DBT or psychedelics, we need to be able to know at least enough to be able to say, hey, have you heard about this? Here's some interesting research. Here's an article. Here's a journal that you can do your own research on. And maybe we can add one of these to your treatment plan. And so I really liked how you individualized that. It's you are a proponent of psychedelics, but you're not saying it's only psychedelics. You're just saying, give psychedelics a thought, do some research. Don't write it off just because it's new or just because our minds take us to, people, the hippies doing drugs. It's not that. And so I really appreciate you, Josh, coming on and just explaining your own personal experience with psychedelics, but also your mission to help others who are struggling with trauma and other mental health issues, and bringing to the table a discussion. And I think we need to have a healthy discussion around psychedelics and how it's being used in mental health care. So it's been great to talk with you. I appreciate you coming on the show and opening our minds a little bit. And hopefully this does open some minds. And do your research. If you're listening to this and maybe you thought, oh, I'm not going to do psychedelics, that's drugs. Well, okay, but do some research and look at the journals, look at the facts. And maybe you have either your own experience that you're struggling or somebody that you know that maybe they've been resistant to other treatment, but maybe psychedelics could be what's going to help them. So do your research and don't write it off. So Josh, again, thank you for coming on the show and talking to us about psychedelics and mental health care.
Yeah, thank you so much, John. I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation with you. It's really interesting to me to hear from the traditional talk therapy perspective and even see kind of the maybe some of the pushback and mistrust or wariness of you know, sometimes you hear about psychedelics now as the research comes out and you're like, this is too good to be true, right? People say, oh, it's like 5 years of talk therapy in 5 hours, right? It's hard to just throw that out there because it has to be done the right way, done responsibly. But it is so powerful. And the more we embrace these really powerful modalities into our courses of treatment, the more you can actually have you as the mental health provider can have a truly profound impact on your patients' lives And then you see the ripple effects that come from one, you know, really healed person, right? You can be involved in your children's lives. You can leave your house more comfortably. You can be involved in your community. You can help other people, right? There's so much positive that comes from people feeling like they've have been able to really, really heal a lot of their trauma and their challenges in life, and then go on to, you know, to have bigger impacts in other people's lives than they could have had, you know, before dealing with their own challenges. And that's certainly the experience that I've had. And, you know, which led me to starting the Psychedelic Exchange, or PsychX, as we call it, and just being incredibly excited about the opportunity ahead to help massive amounts of people live whole lives.
That's awesome. Very good. Thanks again. I appreciate that. And if you're listening to this, look it up. Go do your research on psychedelics if this is something that's interesting to you. All right, my friends, thank you for listening or watching this show. I appreciate you very much. Until next time, take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.